Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 26, 2015. And with me today, I have two people that undoubtedly have got me in trouble before, because that's how they roll. Kelly Gumond, how are you?
Let's get into trouble, baby. How are you?
See, there you go. I'm doing great. And Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
Splendid.
Excellent. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have me like be ebullient or terrific or excited, happy? What's wrong with you? What kind of monster are you?
The pedantic kind.
That's mostly me.
Now, ebullient, that's for Wednesdays.
Oh,
terrific,
okay.
That's for Mondays. Having to save family members from demons and other monsters, that's for Tuesdays.
That is for Tuesday, yes. Although typically I save people from monsters. Just saying.
I've heard it both ways, Captain.
Oh, Manatic. did you just get hot here?
why do your
friends.
This again?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyhow,
it's to get to talk to me every day. That's why.
That has to be it right there. Yeah, which is always awesome. Also awesome, we have a sponsor this week,
Yay!
Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec. I am pretty excited about that. I'll be talking about them more later. But before we get to that, we have topics. And I figured we could start with the news that Apple is getting ready to revamp its streaming music services. And so the deal is... Word on the inside is saying that Apple has Jimmy Iovine, who co-founded Beats Music, which is now part of Apple, working on getting a bunch of exclusive record deals for iTunes, and that iTunes Radio is going to get reworked and part of that will include doing kind of a change up where it's more like traditional radio, and then you have content that's being streamed out based on what region you're in, and then they'll have the whole DJ thing happening with that, and then the music app on iOS is getting reworked as well to accommodate the new music offerings that Apple is planning. And Trent Reznor is in charge of that instead of having software engineers heading up that program.
That is super interesting.
Indeed it is. And another aspect of this is that Apple wants to go head-to-head with Spotify. So what that tells me is Apple has decided that what they're doing right now in streaming music isn't going to get them what they want. So they need to try a different approach, and so they're going to do what Spotify's doing, but hopefully better.
So I just want to throw this out there, because this is a thing that I have wondered about for a really long time. Does anybody remember Lala? And then Apple bought it about 5 years ago, and we have heard nothing of it since.
Well, they shut it down.
I mean, I know.
They were buying the people.
Right.
They were buying the people, and they were buying possibly some technology, but they were not buying the product.
Right. But for those who don't remember, what Lala was a thing that you could – it was sort of a plug-in for iTunes, I guess. And – you could build a playlist and you could share it with people, but more importantly, you could share it with yourself. And you had access to all of the music that you had in iTunes, whether you could buy it in the iTunes store or not. And it allowed you to listen to it on your iPhone, for example, wherever you were, even if that was not at the machine that had all of the songs stored upon it. And it was awesome. And then it was killed. I think part of that is what went into iTunes Match, but I would really like for my iTunes library to be part of my streaming, because sometimes like iTunes Radio is not that interesting. And I know how many songs are available in iTunes. And when I'm trying to tune a station and all you can give me is the same like 15 songs, it's really boring.
Yeah. Have you switched your iTunes radio stations to All Discovery?
Yeah, it just gives me a slightly different set of 15 songs.
Okay, yeah.
The only one I seem to be having success with is a soundtrack channel that I built because I was able to feed it the composers that I liked. And so that one, because all of those people have many albums, I'm able to get a good variety there. But otherwise, I'm not seeing a lot of it. And I think it would be great if I was trying to tune a station for, oh, I don't know, let's say Canadian indie rock, because that's a thing. And I have a bunch of Canadian indie rock in my playlist. I would really like if it was sprinkling the stuff that it found on iTunes that it wanted me to buy with all of the Matt Good and Matthew Good Band stuff that I already own. Like, why can't I do that? You know who I am because I built the station. You know these preferences are tied to me. Why can't you play me my own stuff? So I wish that were a thing, and I'm hoping that having some sort of hybrid of this, because that would make me pay for streaming. I don't pay for it now. Maybe that's why iTunes Radio doesn't like me. But that would be a thing that to me would be really useful and interesting, and I sort of had hope that what we saw out of La La would eventually emerge more obviously, I guess, in something from iTunes, in something from Apple that allowed me to have better access to iTunes, and so far I'm not seeing it very well.
Well, yeah, that would actually would be cool. But my guess is that Apple doesn't have any interest in mixing what's already in our libraries with what they're offering us, because we're not going to buy what we already own.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the reasoning, though. I mean, Apple is building Genius recommendations, right? The bizarrely named Genius recommendations. So there's the Genius bar, but whatever. I don't think that I would find it incredibly irrational for them to say, "Don't play them what they already have because they won't buy it." If there was a decision to not play what we already have, it was based on something else. At the very least, I
all right. Well, and I do know I hear music that I own in the iTunes radio stations that I'm listening to. So I'm pretty sure they're not using our libraries like that.
It's that you bought from iTunes, though. So right. Because I have stuff that I bought and ripped. Yeah,
I've bought very little from iTunes, and I've heard stuff on iTunes Radio that I own.
All right, well, there you go. And some of the stuff I have, I can't remember. Did I buy it from iTunes or did I buy it from Amazon?
Right.
And then some of the stuff, yeah, I've ripped CDs. So I'm betting that I am hearing stuff that I own that did not come from iTunes.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if it's just a matter of, you know, yeah, I bought a Matt Good CD and I ripped it before iTunes had anything from him. And now when I hear it once in a while, what I'm hearing is because it's in the iTunes store now. So I'm wondering if it's that sort of thing. Anyway, that would be a really awesome streaming experience if I could have it sprinkle in the stuff that I already own.
Well, now I'm curious what you guys think about Apple potentially going to a more traditional radio format for their streaming music.
Define traditional radio format.
Like terrestrial radio? Where?
Do you mean commercials and DJs?
I'm not sure about commercials, but definitely DJs and content that's based on regions.
Shut up and take my money.
I love the idea of having DJs. DJs have played an important role in radio for a long time for a reason.
For as long as there's been radio. As soon as DJs went away, you'll notice lots of people don't listen to radio anymore. Like in the car, you know, radio.
Yeah, there's two aspects of that. There's certainly a group, especially I'm guessing younger people, who just want to hear their music and probably aren't interested in a DJ, or maybe aren't interested in a DJ. And there are other people who know exactly what they want and also don't want to hear a DJ. What interests me about a DJ is is having someone who can add some color to the music I'm listening to. And by color, I mean background information, little tidbits. I mean, I used to just soak that stuff up.
I used to do that, and I loved it.
You used to do it? You used to DJ?
I was in college. I had a radio show, and that was one of the things I used to do. Is I would try and find, because this was pre-internet, so I would try and find information about the bands that I was playing, and like, did you know that this band used to do this thing? Did you know that this guy, you know, after being in this band, went on to be this super famous person? Like, here's where he started, you know. So I would do stuff like that a lot. Did you know that Fatboy Slim used to be in the House Martins? Here's one of their songs now, you know, things like that. And it was, for me, it was a lot of fun. And that was the number one thing that anybody told me who listened to my radio show would call me up and say, I love that you give me information about the stuff that I'm listening to. Or, you know, these guys used to play the same bill as this other band. So if you like them, you might like these guys. Check it out. You know, it's like having the cool guy at the record store who can actually help you. Like, it's all this, the great discovery of the it is all like a bygone era now. And it's kind of a bummer to me.
Yeah, coincidentally, I was also a college DJ, and I also liked giving information, but it's because I liked hearing it when I was listening to the professionals do it. And that's something that you don't get when you're just getting a sort of naked stream. Right. And there is also, I mean, like MTV was so much more interesting when it had its VJs, and I know that MTV changed for a reason. And if MTV could have continued to make money playing music videos, they would have, because they're not irrational. But still, I don't know. I think there is we've talked a lot about in the past about having human curated content and the value of having human curated content when it comes to music in particular. And I think that a DJ could certainly be a big part of that.
Well, and Apple did hire away. Oh, I just forgot his name. what's his last name? Lowe from BBC Radio, and he's big time influential DJ out of the UK.
Zane Lowe.
That's it. Thank you. So that tells me that Apple, if they are getting into the DJ side of radio, that they want to make sure they're doing it right, and they want to have the best people handling the DJ spots.
And I hope that happens. Now, here's the thing that I want, because this was always the thing that was the hardest for me to do before, which is probably why I enjoy it. I want to hear other places. Like, I have a free Spotify account, and my favorite thing to listen to in the free Spotify account is the top 100 from the UK, or the top 100 from, Germany or whatever. Like, that's what I want to know. Like, I'm curious about what's playing other places. I've heard a lot of stuff, you know, in the US, and I would like to be able to listen to that, but I'd also like to be able to listen to what those are in other countries. So I would really like to hear if Zane Lowe has his favorites from the last month of new things that he's heard and puts that show together. I want to be able to listen to that. So I really like the idea of things being regional, but I hope that they don't lock it down so that because I live here, I'm not able to listen to any that isn't from here.
I think when they say regional, they're like, you know, if you're going to be in the South, you're going to be listening to country. You know, not so incredibly cut and dry, but that was my assumption, was what that it was genre based, not necessarily playlist based.
Yeah, that's my guess, which tells me, since I'm living in Boulder, that I'll get a constant stream of Opie Gone Bad and Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Congratulations.
I already have a Decemberists radio station. That's going to be wonderful.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. So it sounds to me like you guys are on board with the idea of DJs. And, and I wasn't sure what to make of that. But after listening to you guys talk, I'm thinking, all right, this could be really interesting. So I'm kind of hoping we do get DJs done in a cool way.
All right. So we have a sponsor this week.
Yay.
And that happens to be Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec. And if you're not familiar with Pathfinder 7, that only tells me that you haven't been paying attention all week long, because that's what I've been talking about all week long. Pathfinder 7 is a really powerful add-on replacement sort of thing for the Finder in Mac OS X, and it gives you so much more control over how you interact with the files on your hard drive than you would otherwise have just by using the Finder. And I played with this a little bit like 15 years ago when it came out, and didn't really get into it. But then I started playing with it again a couple weeks ago, and man, I feel kind of stupid for not having been using it all along, because I can do so much more with my documents in a much easier way than I've ever done before. I love that for pretty much every single thing you can possibly do in Pathfinder, there's a keyboard shortcut. So I like keyboard shortcuts, because if you don't have to take your hands off your keyboard to use a mouse or a trackpad, you can be more efficient overall.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things you can do in the Finder itself with keyboard shortcuts, but in Pathfinder, you can do so much more. So once you get comfortable and familiar with their keyboard shortcuts, and I'm working on that right now because there's so much, you can navigate through your files and your drives faster. You can find what you need quicker, and that's awesome, because if you're being more productive, then you're going to be able to get more done. I also like that they have what's a good way to say it? A better way to make sure that that your files are being deleted. So
uh-huh.
You know, in OS X, you put something in the trash, and it goes in the trash, and it just sits there until you actually delete it. So the files haven't gone away. And then once you've deleted the files, they haven't gone away unless you've gone and enabled the
secure delete.
The secure Finder delete or trash delete, whatever the feature is called. Well, that's built into Pathfinder as well, but it works more efficiently, which I think is awesome. And then if you're dealing with a Windows formatted drive or servers that people get kind of pissed off about when you're accessing them with your Mac, and all those .ds store mm-hmm. invisible files end up getting tucked away there, Pathfinder's smart enough that it won't put those .ds store files on those other disks. So they aren't going to be there causing problems. And I think that's great, because they've really thought out exactly how you need to use your files in all the different contexts that you will use them. Unlike the Finder, which is you are using your files in the context of Mac OS X, period.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I just love the flexibility that you get with that, and the power that you get with Pathfinder 7. Go check it out, because it's a really cool application, and you can try it out for free. Just go to their website, which is cocotech.com, and that's cocoatech.com/Pathfinder. Download the free demo. Give it a shot, and if you're someone that's been feeling like the Finder just doesn't quite give you everything you really want, my bet is that you'll be very pleased when you start playing with Pathfinder. It's pretty awesome. So thank you, Cocotec, for being our sponsor.
Indeed.
This week. Yeah, and go check out Pathfinder 7. All right, the other thing that I wanted to hit before we wrap up today is the news that Amazon is changing their cloud storage service. So the whole thing with 5 gigabytes free, and then they have the tiered structure for more storage, that's gone. As of today, they now offer an unlimited cloud storage plan for $60 a year. And it's when they say unlimited, they mean unlimited. There is no storage cap at all. And they don't care what files you put on there. So you can load it up with your Word documents or photographs or music files or movie files. It doesn't matter. And they're not going to cut you off. So basically it breaks down to $5 a month completely unlimited, unrestricted storage. And and when you look at what you're getting everywhere else, all of a sudden, everyone else's offerings for cloud storage seem kind of anemic.
Yeah. Truly. So how, what kind of, I mean, like one of the things that that Dropbox does so well is seamlessly integrates with the Finder. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it is to use on Windows, because quite frankly, I don't care. But it is.
Well, I can tell you I have, and it's the same sort of thing. It just sort of shows up and it's there, and there's no clear delineation between, is it on my hard drive, is it out in the cloud, whatever. It just syncs up, and it's one of the most solid things I've ever used on Windows.
So the question is, can Amazon match that?
I don't know why not.
If you install
Amazon's Cloud Drive app on your hard drive, or excuse me, on your computer, it's a pretty seamless experience. It's not exactly the same as Dropbox, but from what I understand, there's no reason why app developers couldn't adopt Cloud Drive for a lot of their storage, automated storage things.
Ooh.
So there's a lot that can be done with Amazon Cloud Drive, and I'm looking at what they're doing, and I'm like, okay, this really puts the pressure on Dropbox, because okay, so for comparison, Dropbox, you get 2 gigabytes of storage for free, and and then you can get a terabyte for $10 a month. All right, so then Google, they offer Google Drive, 15 gigabytes for free, and a terabyte costs you $10 a month. And Microsoft, they're pretty much the same thing. Although they're charging, I think it's $7 a month for a terabyte. And then you have Apple, who gives you 5 gigabytes for free, and then a terabyte costs you $20 a month. And
one of these things is not like the other.
Now, it's funny you should say that, because that's so true, and not just because of the price. And when I look at what Apple's doing, I don't think Apple sees that they're offering the same thing or competing with Dropbox or Amazon or Google. They're offering iOS automated backup services with a file transfer conduit sort of thing. I think that's how Apple looks at iCloud Drive. They don't see it just as online storage. So they're charging differently. But it's going to be a lot harder for Apple to justify to the public $20 a month for a terabyte when you can get multiple terabytes, as many as you want, for $5 a month.
You have all the terabytes.
Yeah, you can have all the terabytes for $5 a month.
Yeah. All your space are belong to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really interested, because this seems like, in some cases, this seems like one of those things that Amazon does in order to compete with Apple. And I had an example earlier this morning, actually, during the meeting, about how Apple said you can rent an episode of a television show for $1.99. And then Amazon came out and said, oh, really? We'll let you own it for 99 cents. Things like that. And so I'm very curious how this is going to play out with the others. Because remember, everything did used to cost more per terabyte or gigabyte or however they were measuring it. And I don't remember who was first, but one of the cloud storage places came out and said, I want to say it was Microsoft, came out and said, now that we've got OneDrive that we can make available to everybody as part of Office and part of an Office 365 subscription, here's what it costs you to buy additional space. And I remember whoever it was that was first, then another company or two sort of out of nowhere dropped their prices. And so now that Amazon has gotten into it at this rate, I'm wondering if that's going to cause the others to just sort of ratchet everything down a notch. Which is good for everybody. Buying storage and having someplace offsite. You know, we always hear redundant offsite backup. giving people that opportunity, particularly for $5 a month, to make sure that everything on my hard drive is stored someplace else so that if my house is suddenly hit by an asteroid and becomes a crater, at least I know my data is somewhere. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
We don't want to race to the bottom in cloud storage, though, because it's important that cloud storage be done right, and that means it's important that these companies be able to make a profit. Amazon has just made that more difficult, but it doesn't mean that Amazon has made it impossible. In fact, the other companies may simply have to compete better on services because they can't compete with Amazon on price. That'll be good.
And there's all sorts of ancillary things that you can tack onto that to turn it into something else. Like Dropbox, for example, has Dropbox for Business, which is not a free service. Right. And they allow for that sort of thing. You know, that's one of the ways that they can make money. And so hopefully, as other companies have to compete, you know, kind of at this price level, they will have to build out, like you're talking about, Brian, and be able to offer something else and be able to do a good job in order to differentiate themselves from other places.
Yeah, there you go. So
it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what this does to the competition, just overall for the market. And what I hope is that in the end, we're all winners because of it. And we are out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. And Kelly, thank you for being here too.
The pleasure was mine.
And thank you to Pathfinder 7 from Coco Tech for being our sponsor.
And for being awesome.
And for being awesome, yeah. Head on over to cocotech.com/Pathfinder. Download the free demo. Give it a shot. And my bet is that by the time the trial period ends, you'll be ready to drop some money. So, go check that out. And thank you, listeners, for being with us yet again today. We'll see you again tomorrow.